Sports Gambling Podcast is presented by MyBookie.ag. MyBookie.ag is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast. Use the promo code SGP50 to receive a 50% deposit bonus today. We're also brought to you by Odds Shark. They have the latest betting stats and trends you won't find anywhere else, plus free picks from their supercomputer and expert writing staff. Follow them on Twitter at Odds Shark and www.oddsshark.com.
Hey guys, welcome to the EPL show here on the Dirty Sheets feed and the Sports Gambling Podcast. I apologise for two things. First and foremost, the show being late. It's obviously only giving you guys one day to bet these games because the Premier League is obviously tomorrow. I apologise for that because me and James just couldn't get our stuff together. It's been a difficult week for me. I had some like personal issues. For those guys that listen to Wrestling Therapy, you probably heard about it at the start of the show. Wrestling Therapy, for the guys on the Sports Gambling Podcast, is a show that's completely not about wrestling. It's a show that basically is on a wrestling network but doesn't talk about wrestling at all because wrestling is so bad at the moment and gives people a break from listening about wrestling. We talk about all other things. It's basically a really good show for men. Maybe if you guys want to check it out over on the Dirty Sheets, or I can maybe talk Sean and Ryan on into having it on this feed maybe for, you know, 4 to 6 weeks to see if you guys like it. I'll have that conversation in due course to see if it's a good fit here for the Sports Gambling Podcast. But yeah, I discussed everything that's going on with me at the moment over on Wrestling Therapy. And the second thing, obviously, to apologise for is the absence of James George. James George is snowed under. He's taking on a job as a realtor at the moment in Carlsbad, California, and actually cannot find any time. He's completely snowed under with his training. And I kind of knew he wouldn't be available temporarily whilst all this was going on. So this is the week, and hopefully it doesn't bleed over till next week, because if it does, I'll have to find somebody else to fill in for James. And I know James is popular with some of you guys, but yeah, temporarily James is unavailable. So two things again: apologise for the lateness, apologise for my own issues that contributed towards that, and apologise for James not being able to go on to be on the show. But I tell you what isn't an issue at all, and that's where you should be placing your bets. You should be heading over to mybookie.ag. If you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit with a 50% bonus. Use the promo code SGP when making your account. Visit mybookie.ag today and bet on the internet's favorite sports book, where you play, you win, and you get paid. All right. And obviously, if you are going over there, just fade the Cleveland Cavaliers. That would be the thing to do right now, right? Just go over there and just continuously bet against Cleveland. That's what you would think. I actually have a contrarian view to that. I know this is an EPL show, but that trend and that statistic, that ATS statistic, that has to come back round. There is no way that there's going to be a 17 game gap on their ATS record. Yeah, I mean, could be wrong. I mean, everything's possible. It could end up being, they could be 50 games better off if betting against them ATS. But I feel that is going to reduce at this point, especially coming off that win against the Timberwolves. I rode the trend and took the Timberwolves yesterday, and obviously we all saw that last second shot in overtime by LeBron. It's that kind of shit that turns things around. Sometimes you need to look beyond statistics and things, and you have to kind of look at what's written in the stars, or a change of luck, or just that kind of shit notoriously changes seasons in sport. So that basket from LeBron, I would think would be an indicator that that ATS trend is going to flip round the other way. Yeah, I don't think they're by any means going to end up with a winning record, but there's a 17 game differential at the moment in favour of betting against them. That will close. I don't think you should actually continue to just bet against the Cavs ATS throughout the season. Also, there's probably over-adjusted lines at the moment where Cavs would normally be 11-point favourite or something. You might be getting them at a 4 or 5 point handicap instead. I'm not Mr. Basketball by any means. Like, I'm not some basketball expert. There's probably people we can bring on the show that can do a much better job of that. I just know sports, and I just know that a team like the Cavaliers were not going to end up with a ATS record which is a 17 game gap in favour of them losing against the spread. That's just common sense to me that's going to come back round. It could be completely wrong. Like I said, no way, shape or form a basketball expert. I'm just looking at sports in general. Could be a good time to go the other way. But let's move on. Let's move on to football. Let's move on to this week's EPL. Try and give out as much fantasy as I can, because we are getting towards the end of the season with that now. And some people might be completely done with it in terms of, like, completely checked out, miles behind in their mini leagues and done and dusted. But some people might need to make essential tactical changes to make a top four, for example. Our own personal league is paying out up until the top four. And there's a real good race for that. And there's a real good race for the winners as well. But it is really looking like there's only two or three people that can win it, but there are a few people that can get into the top four, and it's probably like that for a lot of people. If we start with the first game, is actually immediately the main game of the week, and that's the North London derby. Massive game. Tottenham hosting Arsenal. I don't know if the American fans are aware of that, how big a game that is. It's the North London derby. Arsenal and Tottenham hate each other. It's actually often seen as an achievement just to finish above the other, even though obviously there's no trophy for that. But the way that Tottenham fans act when they do finish above Arsenal, it's almost as good as winning something for them, which is crazy, because Tottenham at the moment are a good enough side to actually win something. I don't see them actually winning anything this season, but they're talked about very, very favourably in the media, like there's some kind of revolutionary team and an amazing team with amazing players that you need to pick for fantasy, etc. However, they've not won anything. They've not won anything for a long time. So they really do need to win something this season. Arsenal do win things. They win cups. They win the FA Cup. They haven't won the league for over a decade, but they do win more trophies than Tottenham do. Going into this game, Tottenham are now 19-20 favourites. Arsenal are 12-5. The draw is 14-5. Arsenal will be playing their new stars, Mkhitaryan and Aubameyang, who looked really, really good last week when they destroyed Everton. As for Tottenham, they seem to have everybody back now. Alder Wilder was a key person that was missing from their defence. And I think more so than the Wembley element, because I feel that Tottenham have overcome playing at Wembley. That was always bound to happen halfway through the season. Tottenham have certainly overcome playing at Wembley. Alder Wilder was the missing link. Not too convinced about Sanchez in defence. Don't know whether he'll stay in the team here, or whether Tottenham will keep him in a back three, or whether they'll go two at the back and Sanchez will depart and we'll get the partnership of Vertonghen and Alder Wilder. That's actually the Belgium centre-back pairing as well. It's real strong. For me, Arsenal have got a terrible, terrible away record. However, Arsenal are really good at Wembley. I don't think that they'll necessarily see this as an away game. It's very different to going down and getting beaten at Bournemouth. Plus, it's the London derby. Plus, I almost feel like it was a new era for Arsenal the other day. It was touted as that, certainly, and the performance sort of indicated that there might be some sort of change of fortunes. I'm very hesitant to back against Arsenal, although I'm very hesitant also to take them. If you want something bigger, I would go for the draw, but for a tip, in order to add to my very good tipping record, I'm going to take Arsenal +1 in this game. Next up, you've got Everton versus Palace. Everton are 23-20, Palace are 5-2. The 11-5, the draw. Allardyce has come back under fire now. He was heavily criticised for the defeat at Arsenal. And on top of that, he made some stupid comments about how he tried to follow the game plan of Swansea, who beat Arsenal before. Listen, Everton don't follow the game plan of Swansea. And even if they do, you don't publicly come out and say it. You're supposed to be a top eight team who were being touted as potential Champions League challengers if they could get the right signings. They're now being managed by Sam Allardyce, trying to stay in the league and talking about following a template set by Swansea. Allardyce needs to win this game. And one thing that's going in his favour is that Wilfred Zaha is out of the Crystal Palace team. And Crystal Palace haven't got a single point this season without Zaha in the team. So I'm going to be going for Everton here in that game. Moving on to Stoke versus Brighton. Stoke are 11-10. Brighton are 14-5. It's 21-10 the draw. Stoke seems to have turned a corner, definitely defensively. I'm not sure about anywhere else. They did manage to start with a win under Paul Lambert. Brighton look like, when they look like they're down, they managed to pull out a win like they did last week against West Ham, which was a big surprising result, although West Ham are missing a lot of key players, and it will be interesting to see what West Ham do without them, and when West Ham get back on track without Lanzini and Arnautovic. In this game, I'm going to go for Stoke. I just feel that Brighton are very up and down, win one, lose one, and Stoke ain't going to go down. I think Stoke need this win here to kind of push away from this relegation zone. Swansea versus Burnley's next. Swansea are in really good form. They drew at Leicester. Then before that, they had wins at home to Arsenal, Liverpool. They won 8-1 in the week with a lot of their reserves in the cup against Notts County. That's a team that's in form, and that's a team that I don't really want to bet against. Burnley, I think this season's done. I think they had a really good start where they were hovering around the top six, secured safety, which was the goal, and I think that would be it for them. I don't see why. What more they have to play for. I'm not sure entirely if Swansea are going to win this game, but I will take Swansea on the draw, no bet, which means that if it does end up being a draw, then this is voided, and that's at a really good price at 4-6, because I just don't think Swansea will get beat in this game. But taking them Swansea plus one will be too short, because they are the favourites in this game. West Ham versus Watford. Watford destroyed Chelsea on Monday, which was impressive. They're 19-10 to win this game, and West Ham are 7-5. I'm going to take Watford plus one. West Ham are missing loads of players. They're terrible at home, and Watford are in form, almost even to the point where their best player gets bought off, and he was seen crying. Richarlison was seen crying because he wasn't happy with how he played. The manager said that he only took him off because he had a book, and he was trying so hard that he was worried that he was going to get another booking. And Chelsea were already down to 10 men, so Watford didn't want to lose that advantage. They ended up winning the game 4-1, and Richarlison was withdrawn when it was 1-0, so it turned out to be a good decision. But obviously that shows to me that the manager has managed to get people behind him. They are actually now playing for him, whereas when Marco Silva left, the same players that were playing really well at the start of the season all of a sudden decided that they didn't want to bother, because the manager wasn't bothered, because the manager was more interested in going to Everton, and he tried his very best to negotiate a deal out of the club, and then he got stuck there. And it was always going to be a recipe for failure, because after that, all the players knew that the manager didn't want to manage them, and they stopped playing for him. Now I think these players are back to what they were. This is a class squad, and it's way too good to be in a bottom half. So I'm going to take Watford plus one here at West Ham. Man City versus Leicester. God, this is the regular easy Man City game every week. Man City are 2-9. Leicester are 11-1. I'm not too sure how to bet this, because City win this game. I would think that with Jamie Vardy and people like that in the team, that Leicester are capable of scoring a goal. However, they have the whole situation that's dragging along with Riyad Mahrez refusing to play. Leicester are another one. Like, I'm not sure why they would bother. I honestly think that they should go for the FA Cup. I would start putting full teams out for that. You can't go down and you can't really do anything in the league. What's the point of finishing eighth or ninth? Obviously, every position is better than the other. It pays out slightly different, but I don't think it should be in any way a priority over chasing the FA Cup. So I'm going to go for Manchester City minus one in this one. And for your fantasy picks, just keep going for Aguero in your team, because Man City's squad he's very overrated. He doesn't really have a lot of depth. And now you're seeing that Gabriel Jesus is out. Sergio Aguero is playing every single game. They don't have any other striker that they trust to play there. So Sergio Aguero is absolutely key to your fantasies this week, and a definite choice as captain, as far as I'm concerned. Moving on to Sunday, Huddersfield versus Bournemouth. Huddersfield are 21-10. The draw is 21-10, and Bournemouth are 7-5. Guys, don't forget that when Huddersfield were flying high and looking like they'd completely adjusted into the Premiership, I was tipping them to go down throughout. I just said, no matter what happens, this is going to even out. Huddersfield are not good enough to be in the Premier League, and eventually they'll get found out. Well, now they're the favourites to go down. They're down in 19th place. They're 4-6 favourites. I would still bet that. Still put it into your parlays or your anti-post parlays or whatever. Like, put it in to your long-term bets. This team are going down. There's no way they don't go down, even to the extent that Bournemouth are away favourites here at 7-5. So that makes this really hard to bet, because you don't just want to bet Bournemouth blindly. You don't just want to start betting against Huddersfield every single week. I would think this is going to be a game where we don't see many goals. So I haven't given one out so far, but I'm going to go for the under 2.5 goals in this one. I would think Huddersfield's best chance of winning is to try and nick this game 1-0. They might succeed in that, which will be good, because then if Huddersfield do get a win, I would quite like to bet on them again. I already got them at 3-1, which is plus 300. And I'd like some action, maybe at evens, plus 100, something like that. And there will be an overreaction if they win this game. So hopefully they do that. But I have a feeling they're in free-for-all, and Bournemouth might just go and take them apart. Newcastle versus Manchester United. Newcastle are 9-2. The draw is 11-4. Manchester United are 8-13. United regularly win this game at Newcastle. All the top sides have gone and won at Newcastle. Newcastle kind of play them close for a while, kind of try to play out for a draw or keep the game tight, which they probably will do. I think this has got under 2.5 goals written all over it, but it also has a United win written all over it. I would almost be willing to risk both things put together. You can get that at, how big is the price here? Wow, 3-1 for Manchester United to win and under 2.5 goals. Don't really usually give anything out as big as that, but I feel that's the way that this could go. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to give out Man United to win. Just another thing to touch on as well. That trend that I gave you guys at the start of the season, Manchester United to be 0-0 at halftime. If you were betting that at £50 stakes, so if your one unit, for example, for you was £50 like it is for me, you'd be over £600 up taking that. Man United just don't score in the first half, and they don't concede either. 0-0 at halftime. Bet it blindly. Doesn't matter whether it's Man United against Huddersfield, which is a game that United are expected to win easily, or Man United playing away to Man City. I'm not saying it will 100% win, but it's all about playing it every single time, whether it be a game where it looks likely to come in or whether it looks impossible to come in, because it comes in. It's over £600 up. Man United just don't break through in the first half. It's 0-0 in at half time in the Man United games. You can bet it a different way as well. You can look for under 0.5 goals in the first half. Seems to come in all the time. There's no bad time to start this. Like I said, this isn't the Cleveland Cavaliers in terms of like where you're thinking, okay, so this trend has to change at some point. Why would this change? Manchester United teams sit back against United and defend throughout the entire first half. If United are playing a team that are as good as them, they'll sit back and defend. It counteracts both ways. Either United are going to come in with a defensive approach, or the opposition are going to come in with a defensive approach. Because United are such a Jekyll and Hyde team in terms of the way that they go for it against the big clubs, they don't go for it against the big clubs and sit back. And whereas smaller clubs always sit back against United and do what United do against the bigger clubs, the trend will always work. There's always a possibility of a 0-0. All right. Southampton versus Liverpool. This is always funny to me because this is Liverpool playing against their academy almost, because they buy so many players from Southampton. Southampton are 10-3. The draw is 29-10 and Liverpool are 3-4. You have to take Liverpool. I'll tell you why. If you have a team that are known for buying the best players from the other team, and what's left at the other team beats the team that buys all your best players, that is a humiliating defeat. So I don't see Liverpool suffering the humiliation of losing to a team where they have taken all their best players for years. That would be embarrassing. And I'm willing to bet against the team getting embarrassed. If you bet on Liverpool, knowing that they have bought all of Southampton's best players, and Southampton do go on and win this game, then you can be quite content that you lost your money. You can sit there and go, you didn't do anything wrong. It's like the people that lost money on the Super Bowl, but you bet on Tom Brady. You can't feel bad about it. You can't feel shitty that you decided to back Brady and Belichick. Why wouldn't you? It's like that. It's like this one of those bets this weekend where you have to blindly bet Liverpool against Southampton. The last game happens on Monday. 8 o'clock kickoff. Oh, by the way, going back to fantasy on that, don't take Mo Salah out of your team. Mo Salah is completely established. And don't put Virgil van Dijk in your team. They've conceded 9 goals in 5 games since he's been there. It looks like a really bad signing, to be honest. It looks like maybe he's not a bad player, but it just doesn't look like Jurgen Klopp can organise a defence. So Liverpool are going to concede goals regardless. So I wouldn't go for any defensive options at Liverpool. But Mo Salah is definitely your guy still. And maybe Roberto Firmino as well, who is a cheap alternative striking option. Although he doesn't score as many as the Harry Kanes and the Agueros, he is a nice option for 9 mil. Chelsea versus West Brom on Monday, 8 o'clock. Chelsea are 4-11. West Brom are 15-2. They're in really good form at the moment, West Brom, and Chelsea are certainly not. Massive, massive pressure on Antonio Conte. This has almost become a must-win game at this point of the season, even though Chelsea are sitting in the Champions League places. They won't be for long if they don't pick up wins like this. They've conceded 7 goals in their last 2 games. They've lost 2 games that they were massively expected to win. 3-0 at home to Bournemouth, 4-1 at Watford. I really can't see how they suffer another defeat here. West Brom did manage to get their stuff together. However, last weekend they ended up losing in a game that had 5 goals. Don't understand how the West Brom game produced 5 goals last week. But yeah, West Brom lost 3-2. So that kind of leads me to Chelsea. West Brom normally don't manage to score goals. And you would think that Chelsea managed to get their shit together here without looking too convincing, which is why I'm hesitant to bet that back the handicap, and I'm going to take Chelsea to nil instead, because I just feel that they have to get this together. I can't see why or how this team have managed to degenerate into the current position that they're in. So I'm going to take Chelsea as well, and I'll probably take that in my parlays as well this week. Let's move on to Lock Dog Parlay. I'm actually just about to remove Manchester United from my parlay because I'm going to take Manchester United as my lock. United always win. They always win at Newcastle in the modern era. Yeah, they have had heavy defeats there, like 20 years ago where they lost 5-0 to Newcastle when the likes of Alan Shearer and whatnot were there. But it would be very concerned if Man United can't go down to Newcastle and win that game. As for my dog, this is a difficult one this week, but I'm going to take Watford for all the reasons that I reiterated earlier, just simply because they are looking like a much better side than West Ham at the moment. West Ham have got players out and they're not very good at home. The accumulator, or the parlay, as the Americans call it, real simple, Chelsea, Man City, Liverpool thrown in there instead of Man United, because I said should win against the team that they buy all the best players from. That pays out just over even. So if you do have £50 on that, it will return you £160. All right, guys, thanks for that. Thanks for listening. You can follow us over at EPL Show. My Twitter is at Billy Betting. That's BILLIBETTING. Check us out over at lockbetting.com. There are free tips up there every week. But if you want to buy a betting package, you will make a profit. We did suffer some damage from the Super Bowl, but we're still not too bothered because we're still celebrating from our wins at the WWE Royal Rumble and the successful run that we've had in the Premier League. And also, although we did lose on the actual Super Bowl, we did win on the national anthem. We had some inside information that Pink was going to finish in 113 seconds and she finished in 114 seconds. So that was really good for our members because we didn't lose too much backing the Patriots. We do stand at £9,320 profit for the entire year, and the year only started in August. So from August 2017 up till now, if you bet £50 per unit, you would be £9,320 up with lockbetting.com. So make sure you check that out. Check out our Twitter account. Follow the Sports Gambling Podcast at Gambling Podcast. The Dirty Sheets Twitter account has changed. It is at Wrestling Trues. True stands for True News, TREWS. And I will let you know next week if Ryan and Sean have agreed to allow a couple of episodes of Wrestling Therapy to come onto the Sports Gambling Podcast. It's a really good show. Absolutely nothing to do about wrestling. Like I said, it's the opposite. It's the therapy that we offer wrestling fans because wrestling is currently so bad. And it's a show simply orientated and geared towards men. We talk a bit of sports, we talk a bit of wrestling, we talk a bit of gambling, we talk about women, we talk about Pornhub. It's a show for guys, so make sure you check that out. Thanks again, guys, and I'll be back next week.